All right, Book of Joshua, chapter 1 again. Well, it's somewhere in here. If you get your judges, you need to back up. Joshua chapter 1. So I want to read one verse. Then pitch a fit. Now, one verse. Verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. So, continuing of this morning. This morning, as I mentioned, and I hadn't put it on the internet yet, but... this morning, as I mentioned, that Joshua and the children of Israel going into the promised land is a picture or a type, if you want to call it, however you want to put it. The theologians like to say a type. But anyway, it's an example for us. And what it's an example of is us not moving into heaven, not leaving this life and going into heaven, which is a lot of people teach that, and I understand why, but it's not a picture of when the Israelites crossed the Jordan and they went into the land of Canaan, that was their land of rest. And really, us, as we get saved, we got saved, and we can either... well, let me give you a little background before I go there. There was some tribes. There was the tribe of, I believe, Judah. And I think it was Judah. Manasseh. Ah! Reuben. Manasseh, the half-tribe of... I'm getting it all messed up here. Too much coffee. Good grief, it had just went poof. Anyway, there was two tribes, Benjamin and the half tribe of Manasseh, I want to say. I may be wrong, but I'm pretty sure. But anyway, they wanted to stay on the other side of Jordan. They didn't want to cross Jordan, and they didn't want to go into the land of promise. They wanted to stay over here. And it irritates me that I can't get those two names for whatever reason tonight. But anyway, they wanted this Gad. Reubenites and the Gadites. Thank you. And the half tribe of Manasseh. They wanted to stay on the other side of Jordan. They didn't want to go. Now, they were God's people, but they didn't want to go into the promised land. They did agree to go, and they made Moses mad. They also made God mad. But they said, oh, there's a lot of grass out here, and we got cattle, and man, this is a prime place. But they made a deal with Moses. They said, we'll go in, and we'll help our brethren fight, which was an honorable thing for them to do. And they went in and they did that and they fought. And they took over, and we'll get to here in a bit where they took over and they had rest. But they wanted to stay on the other side of Jordan. Now, that in itself is a picture of, do you want all of what God has for you or just part of it? I want all of it. And we'll get to that. But that is a good picture of that. Now see, the warfare of Israel is a picture of our fight of faith, and it's us putting our trust in the Lord. 2 Timothy 6:12. Let me read that real quick. 2 Timothy... no, it ain't 2 Timothy. It can't be. There ain't a 6:12. It's 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 6:12 says... fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. In other words, the Israelites going into the land of Canaan and fighting Jericho and all of the battles that they fought, that was a show of faith in God. God was saying, I've gave you this. This is what you can have. You got to go get it. And he said, I will be with you. I've given it all to you already. It's yours. You just got to go and you got to possess it, which we'll get to in a bit about possession and ownership. But there come a problem in there. And trust me, we're going to get back to Gad and Reuben and the half-tribe Manasseh here in a bit. But they become a problem. They went in and they took Jericho, wiped it out, boom, done deal. Lord, give it to them. And then they jumped on Ai, and they got the hind end whipped. Now, there was something wrong. Really, there was two things wrong. If you read about before they went into Jericho, Joshua consulted with the Lord. Maybe that's a poor choice of words, but sounds good. He consulted with the Lord on what we need to do. He didn't consult on the Lord on what we need to do with Ai. Got two big britches, as my mom used to call it. Got on their high horse. We just took them. We'd be able to take little old Ai. Ai, nothing. Well, Ai whipped her hind end. Sent them running with their tails tucked. And for one, because they didn't talk to God about it. Listen, we got to go back to that. We need to talk to God about everything we're going to do, no matter how little it is. Miss Betty said she's even prayed for a parking place. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Pray for a parking place. The Lord may give you a front door parking place and you wonder, now why did the Lord give me a front door parking place? And you come out and it's pouring down rain. You ain't got near as far to go. Never know. But we need to pray about everything. Number two, there was sin in the camp. You see, as a whole, Israel had sin in the camp. And here Joshua is, he's laying on his face. He's crying to the Lord, oh, what if we lay out Venus? And I'm going to paraphrase for you. The Lord basically said, get up, quit your whining. You got problems in the camp, Joshua. Go fix it. Now, sometimes that is related to the church. We got known sin going on in the church. If it's known, then yeah, we need to fix it. That's why I've contacted people that just don't care to show up anymore. That's known sin. Believe it or not, laying out of church is a sin. Read Hebrews 10:26 if you don't believe me. And because it's what the Lord said. But let's draw it down to individual. We're not consulting God on an issue. We've got known sin in our life is going to cause a problem in our spiritual life with the Lord. We're going to get poor communication because we've got known sin in our life, and it can cause lots of problems. It causes us to have a weak faith and a breakdown in our communications with the Lord, and we don't get everything clear. Listen, when the Lord tells me something, I want to get it clear. I want to know what He's telling me. Now, Israel, their rest that they had. Joshua, flip over to Joshua chapter 11. It's right after chapter 10. Verse 23. Joshua 11, verse 23. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war. So what you got a picture of here is Israel finally went into the promised land. They obeyed God. And matter of fact, as long as Joshua was alive in his lifetime, Israel kept it together and they did serve the Lord. And they did prosper and they had their rest. And they were doing real well. And to us, that's a type of rest for us. Our getting close to the Lord. It's not crossing the Jordan. Well, I'm checking out, man. Doc said I've got 2 days left. I'm done. I'm fixing to go into the promised land. No. I can have the promised land here. I can have that rest in my spiritual life right here. It just depends on whether or not I want it. And the way I get that is I get close to the Lord. Now let's go back to the three tribes. The three tribes that stayed on the other side of Jordan, they didn't want to go into the land of promise. And it's like, why? They didn't want to go into the land of promise. We want to stay out here. This looks good to us. We want to stay here. Lots of grass. Lots of grass. We got cattle. We need the good land out here. We don't want to go into the land of promise that God, you have promised me that I can have. Now, compare that to us as individuals. We get saved. We at some point in our life, we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us, and some preacher probably told you, as he's telling you now, there is a more abundant life waiting for you if you're willing to take it. If we're willing to step forward into that and take that, there's a more abundant life there that's waiting for us. It's a true rest in the Lord. And true rest is found in service for Christ. Matthew, let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Some of you could quote this. Just as soon as I do the way I'm going tonight, I ain't no telling what I'd quote you. Verse 28 says, in chapter 11 of Matthew says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If we take on all of the problems that come to us this coming year, we're going to have an awful weight upon us. Why not get in the yoke? You know what a yoke is? It's this funny looking thing. Some of them are built different, but it's designed for two animals to work side by side in. But if you get in the yoke with the Lord, listen, He does all the work for you. It's all going to be much more, it's going to be rest in there. The closer we get to the Lord, the more service that we do for the Lord, the more rest we have. I can be just tired and wore out and I just... It's been one of them weeks. Sunday comes along. I've been studying and studying. Don't sleep worth a flip on Saturday night. And I get up Sunday morning and I'm just dragging. And Sandy said, "You didn't sleep well." And I'm like, "Well, who are you? You didn't either." And we drink coffee and my eyes are all watering. But I come to the Lord's house and all of that seems to go away. By Sunday when I get out of church, I go home and we eat something, might take a nap and might not. But I'm ready to come back and come back at 4 and do our classes 4 and 5 o'clock and then our service at 6. When I get home, it's like, all the air's gone, but I'm relaxed and I'm at peace and I got joy because I say, you know what? I went to church. I served the Lord. I did what I was supposed to do. And if the Lord comes back tonight, good check. I got peace. That's that rest He's talking about having in our lives. let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Oh, this is a, I might read them all, may not. Philippians, where is Philippians? It's over there somewhere right before Colossians. There it is, Philippians chapter 4. It's in the New Testament. He said, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. My dearly beloved, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with all my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. And he goes on through, Paul does, he says, rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And he goes on, he says, finally, brethren, he said, think on all of these good things. Don't think on all the sad stuff. Don't think on what Fox News told me earlier today. If I dwell on that, I'll get mad. I get all heartbroken. Every time I see that Pelosi woman stand up there, I just want to walk up and slap her. It's like, good grief, take that gavel and put it in her mouth because I don't even want to hear her. I get all disappointed with all that stuff. And I'm like, don't think on that junk. Think on the good things. He says, think on true. Whatsoever things are honest, just, whatsoever things are pure, lovely, of good report. Think on these things. And then he says, he goes over here to verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. See, when we get all down and out, we can make it because we can do all things through Christ. We got that rest. If I take it on all myself, I have a real problem. Because I'm going to worry about it. I'm going to take it to bed and I'm going to worry about it all night long. I'm not going to sleep. And I get up the next day feeling like garbage. When if I just give it to the Lord, listen, He's in control anyway. And in 100 years, who's going to care? It don't matter. I'll be gone. I'll be in heaven with the Lord, unless I live to be 158. But you see, God said He'll take care of us. He told him, He said, I've learned how to be abased. I've learned how to eat bologna sandwiches, or I've learned how to eat ribeye. I'm fine with either one. Verse 19, He said, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You see, this is where our rest comes in, at knowing that the Lord's got all this under control. He's got every bit of this stuff under control. Anything that's going to come at you this new year, you need to remember, the Lord already knows about it, and He's got it under control. Yeah, but that was my sister's, should have been her middle name. Yeah, but because anytime you tell her anything, yeah, but she always threw that in there. You know, if a frog had wings, he wouldn't bump his rump every time he moved. Listen, the Lord's going to take care of it. He's got it under control. But you know what we tend to do? We tend to take it, and we tend to worry about it. I know Kyle don't. That's why he comes up and says, brother, pray for me. I got some tests this week. It's going to be rough. I'm like, Kyle, you got it, dude. Smart as you are, you just blaze right there. That was cakewalk.
But it is because the Lord helps him. And yes, some of it's a struggle, huh, God? But he can do it because he depends on the Lord. If we'll depend on the Lord will let us do it. And as I mentioned, I think this morning, and I'm pretty sure I mentioned it Wednesday, and I had a message about it a while back, don't be afraid to fall. The Lord's going to pick us up. We're going to keep right on going. We got to be willing to step out. And we grow closer to the Lord. But here comes this problem in all Christians' lives. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Now, let me give you a little bit of thought on it. The Israelites go into the land of Canaan. They take over, they take control, they've done almost everything they were supposed to do. Almost everything they were supposed to do. But they made allegiances with the Canaanites instead of killing them all, like the Lord said to do. They took them and made them slaves. They taxed them. Oh, that'll make it all better. Now, let me read you this verse here. What's that mean for us? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. You see, the Israelites, when you look at what they did, they said, well, we'll keep these Canaanites, and we'll keep this going, and we'll keep that going. It caused them nothing but problems, and it's still causing them problems today. If they had have obeyed God, there wouldn't be near the problems we've got. Wouldn't have that big an issue. Israel wouldn't have that big an issue. You see, when we get saved, the Lord says, okay, now you need to get up, go and sin not. But if we do, we got an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. We can ask forgiveness. But we're not supposed to live in sin. See, here's what the problem is with Christians. Well, you know, nobody really knows about this one. I'm going to keep it in this room and here out of everybody's sight. That'd be all right over there. And then we got some over in this corner. I'm going to keep it tucked under here because, well, ain't nobody going to know about that one. Because I ain't going to get rid of everything. I mean, you know, Lord, I got to have this. And I like to do that. And I'd really like going here. See, that's the same thing they did. The Lord said, get rid of it. But they didn't. They kept it hanging around. And it caused them lots of problems. You see, those sins got in the way. They were sort of straddle the fence. We get kind of straddle the fence sometimes. Listen, you don't want to stay straddle the fence too long, it'll cut you. It ain't good. You need to get on one side or the other. Well, now we go back to that group that decided, well, we don't want to go across there. Those three tribes, or the half-tribe Manasseh, they decided they'd stay over there. It didn't turn out real well for them. If you read about the people called the Gadarenes, they were taking care of hogs. Listen, Jew wasn't even supposed to touch one of them nasty things. That was the same group earlier. Oh, we want to stay over here, Lord. Lots of grass because we got cattle. Well, you see,
when we separate ourselves from what God wants us to have, ain't good. When we get saved, the Lord says we can have the love of Christ to show to our fellow people, people around the world. We can have joy. We can have peace. We can have long suffering. All of these things, but we've got battles to fight in the process to have that rest. And if we're not willing to go that route, we're going to be missing out on what the Lord has for us. We're not going to get all of what's coming. If you truly want rest in Christ, you really, really want rest in your walk with the Lord, you got to go back to Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. He said, everywhere you go, I've already gave it to you, it's yours. You just got to take it. You got to possess it. Let me go back to Joshua and read you a verse. Joshua chapter 1. You know what? We're really close to being done. Joshua chapter 1, verse 11. He says, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals. For within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. The Lord's already gave it to you. He's already opened the door. If we want joy, we can have joy through an abundant life with the Lord. If we want peace, we can have peace through that abundant life with the Lord. Through that growing closer to the Lord. The closer I walk with the Lord, the more of these things I have. The more of this peace I realize in my life. The more of the joy I have in my life. When I back away from the Lord, I start losing all of that. When I get back into fellowship with the Lord, I can get that peace. Are you owning what the Lord's give you? Or possessing it. You can own a car. You can go out and buy you a Bugatti. If you can, let me know. They're very expensive. You can go out and buy one. You own it. It's your car. But if you don't ever get in there and drive the thing, you don't possess it. It's just your car. There it sits. I've got salvation in the Lord, but if I don't grow close enough to the Lord, I ain't possessing everything that's coming to me. I don't want to miss out on anything the Lord's got for me. I want all of it. I don't know if you call it greedy or whatever, but I want it. You see, all these things are stored up for us in Christ, but it's only as we accept it by faith, what the Lord says He'll give us. And we can possess a whole lot. See, we just got to grasp all that God has for us. This coming year, you can grasp everything the Lord has waiting for you. You can have peace. You can have joy. You can have all the knowing that God's in control of everything, knowing that God will take care of everything. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 1 says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of. Don't come short of what the Lord has for you. Reach out and grow in the Lord. And this coming year, all through this 2019, when we get to January 2020, we'll be able to look back and say, did I grab everything the Lord gave me? Did I possess everything that I could have possessed through the Lord?
And if you do, man, you can sit back and say, amen. Instead of I look back on 2018 and I'm like, huh. There was a lot of times I worried about things I didn't have to. I could have just gave it to the Lord. But now I want to hang on to it. There was a lot more times I should have studied a whole lot more, and the Lord would have given me a whole lot more, to be honest with you. He'd have given me a whole lot more to give to you. But I look back and I'm like, well, but I wanted to go fishing that day. But I shouldn't have. I should have said, you know what? No. I can go fishing tomorrow. The Lord's laying it on my heart now. I better do it. You know, the Lord come across the other day to me, and He says, studying about part of what we went over tonight, and I'm like, you know, and I looked over there, and hanging on my walls, my fender strap, and I thought, man, I ought to pick on that some. And I went to get it, and I'm like, no, you know what, I'm gonna see what the Lord wanted me to see first. Actually, it didn't last that long. He showed me what He wanted to show me, and I jotted it all down, and I studied a little bit, and boom. I went and played the guitar and bugged my wife to death for about an hour. And then when I told her, I said, I'm putting it up. She said, why? I said, because my hand's numb. She's over there praying to the Lord. She gets tired of hearing it sometimes. Reach out and grab what the Lord has for you. Not just to own it. Listen, there's the Israelites, it was their land. But they didn't totally possess it the way they could have. They went off on the wrong way. They ended up back in bondage again. All sorts of problems. Because they did not possess everything that the Lord had for them. You don't want to miss out on what the Lord has for you.